Now I see grace.
Good morning, good morning, Grace Point Church. You doing okay? Good to see you here. Good to see you here for our time of worship. I want to welcome each and every one of you, those who come every week or most every week, those of you who are with us maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time. Welcome to Grace Point Church. We really are glad that you're here. We're going to continue what we started last week with the Advent wreath and candles, and Rachel's going to lead us in that. So go ahead and be seated, and let's follow her.
This second week of Advent is the week of peace. Scripture tells us Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom, which means completeness or well-being. Jesus did not come just to end wars, but to make us complete by saving us. The Holy Spirit calls us to trust in Jesus as the Son of God, who came to save us. And then we will have the peace or shalom of God. Today, we thank our Father in heaven for the gift of his Son, Jesus, who came to Bethlehem and then to every believer's heart to be the Prince of Peace and save us from our sinfulness. We pray today that he will help us trust in Jesus to make us complete and to show the peace of Jesus to one another. Today, we light the candle of peace.
In Psalm 66, verse 19, it says this, "But God listened. He heard my prayer. He paid attention to it." We're going to be talking today about prayer and how God listens and pays attention to it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for the season in which we are right now. We celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, year-round because, Jesus, you were not only born, but you were raised from death into life. And you live now to pray for us, to intercede for us, and we thank you. May you, Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds as we continue in our worship. Praise you, to bless you, speak to us, encourage us, convict us, challenge us, teach us, lead us through this time. Help us to be people who pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kevin, did you know that Jonathan ran 26.2 miles yesterday?
I did. I knew that.
Jonathan, he's playing and singing two. Well, he's got one coming up, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Good job.
Just a reminder, too, we'll remind you again later on in our service and through the next couple of weeks, we will have a Christmas Eve service here, and it starts at 4:30 promptly, and it will last 1 hour, 60 minutes, no longer. So you guys can get from here to wherever you need to go to, finish your Christmas shopping, those kinds of things, okay? If I told you that you were going to have the opportunity to talk with Jesus Christ for 15 minutes, sometimes this afternoon, and you could make one request from him, I wonder what that request would be. The disciples actually got this opportunity. In Luke 11, it tells us that they came to Jesus one day and they had a request. And the request they made of Jesus was, "Lord, teach us to pray." Of all the things they could have asked Jesus, why did they ask this? I think in part it was because they saw the results of prayer in Jesus' life. They saw him pray, and they saw what happened afterward. It's interesting that disciples watched Jesus preach the greatest sermons ever. They watched him do miracle after miracle, heal the sick, raise the dead, but never once did they say, Lord, teach us to preach or teach us to do miracles. Never once did they say, Lord, teach us to raise the dead. Instead, they said, teach us how to pray. Why? I believe it was because they saw that prayer was the life support system of Jesus Christ. If you have your bulletins, take your outlines out. You can start filling them out right now as we go along in the message. The disciples saw that prayer was the life support system of Jesus. In 1953, there was a team of people climbing K2. K2 is a summit right next to Mount Everest. Something went wrong, and five climbers fell off the face of K2 summit. But one climber, Pete Schuning, used an axe buried deeply into the ice as an anchor to hold the line. And the five dangling friends owed their lives to someone who anchored the line well. That axe was literally their life support system in that situation. Prayer was the life support system of Jesus. Prayer was the key to his life. Many times he took time away from everyone to pray. And there is nothing more vital to your Christian life than prayer. Now, some people think prayer is like a magic wand. We just kind of wave it at something and we're going to get what we want. People think prayer is a first aid kit. You only use it in an emergency. Uh-oh, what happened? Oh, no, we better pray now. As though we don't need to pray any other time. The worst idea and misconception about prayer is prayer simply is a religious duty. And when we think of prayer as a religious duty, and that becomes the basic motivation behind prayer, and then we just feel guilty if we don't pray. Or if we don't pray enough, we feel guilt because we think it's a duty we have to do. I know I should pray more. I ought to pray more, so prayer becomes a duty. And we feel a sense of obligation that if we don't pray, we're going to be on God's naughty list, on his bad list. And as a result, many times we go through meaningless ritual that becomes a rut. We learn memorized phrases. You get caught up in religious cliches. And you say the same thing to God over and over and over again and becomes totally meaningless. Just rote memory rather than something you enjoy when you talk to God. We're in a series of messages called Blessed to be a Blessing. Last week we talked about blessing others through your words. Today we're going to be talking about blessing others with your prayers. Now, if you're going to bless other people with your prayers, you need to understand the purposes of prayer so we can pray according to the reasons God set prayer up. But I want to dispel a myth about prayer. Here's the myth. The myth is, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how. I bet if I just picked one of you right now and said, stand up and pray, you'd be like, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how. That is a myth. Listen, folks, if you've ever spoken to anyone ever in your life, if you've ever had a conversation of any depth at all, or it was simply on the surface, if you've ever done that, listen to me, you can pray. Because prayer is simply but deeply talking to God. If you can talk, you can pray. The myth is, I don't know how to pray. The truth is, yes, I do. If you can talk, you can pray. In John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, We find Jesus' last words to his disciples. And he tells the people repeatedly, I'm going to die, then I'm going to be resurrected and go back to heaven. I'm not going to be here physically, but I'm going to be here spiritually. And you can still talk to me when I go to heaven. How? Through prayer. So I want to look at the four purposes of prayer with you this morning. The four purposes of prayer. The first purpose of prayer is this. Number one, prayer is an act of dedication and dependence. It's an act of dedication and dependence. At 5:30 p.m. on December 10th in 1914, an explosion erupted in West Orange, New Jersey. That happened to be the property on which Thomas Edison had 20 buildings to do his investigations and experiments and developments. 10 of those 20 buildings were engulfed in flames. Edison told his 24-year-old son to get his mother and her friends because, as he said, they'll never see another fire like this again. I'm dude like, I'd be so mad, I'd be crying. Get your folks here, let them look at this. Most of us would have been devastated and we probably would have quit, but not Edison. The next morning, he looked at the ruins and he said, there is a great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew. 3 weeks later, he delivered the first phonograph. You like your ear pods, whatever they're called? You can thank Edison. He lost almost everything, but he was dedicated, and he built it back. Prayer is an opportunity to express our dedication, our devotion, and our dependence upon God. And no matter what happens in our lives, no matter if we get set back or we're on the highest mountaintop, we need to remain dedicated in our prayer to God. Our biggest problem with prayer, with talking to God, is we don't feel a dependence upon Him. We think we can do life ourselves. Have you ever found yourself doing that? We say things like, I got this. How's that working out for you? I can do this. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. I have the resources. I can take care of it. And we think, I don't need to pray because everything's going well. I'll pray when everything falls apart. The biggest problem in prayer is simply admitting we need God's help, not just sometimes, but all the time. The reason why a lot of people don't pray is because prayer costs. It costs honesty. You have to be honest with yourself and you have to be honest to God. God, I admit I'm inadequate. I admit I'm helpless. I admit I need your help in this situation. As long as you think you're self-sufficient, prayer will have no meaning in your life. Prayer is an act of dedication. God, I admit that I need you. I admit that I must have you in my life. It's an act of dependence and dedication. Look at John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask, you can pray whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Prayer is our support system. It is our lifeline to God. If you cut off prayer in your life, you're going to run out of spiritual air. Prayer is an act of dedication. It shows our dependence. And until we realize we need God, we can't pray, we won't pray, and we don't pray. It's time for us to become more dependent on the One who can take care of things, who can bless, who can fix, who can get us through the tough times, who can walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, and who can meet us on the mountaintop. We need to learn a new healthy dependence upon God. And when we do, we talk to Him. And talking to God is what? It's prayer. The first purpose of prayer, it's an act of dedication and dependence. Number two, the second purpose of prayer is that it is an act of communication. Prayer is an act of communication. Researchers at Queen Mary University of London found that goats don't have their own language. How do you figure that out? Somebody looked at goats and listened to goats for a long time and said, goats don't have their own language. Our tax money probably paid for that. But they are able to pick up accents from other goats. And in a study published in the journal Animal Behavior, scientists found that when young pygmy goats joined social groups, their calls started sounding similar to the groups they joined. This means goats now join human beings, bats, and whales as the mammals known to adjust their vocal sound in response to a social environment. They speak. They communicate. Now, we know how important communication is. Most of our problems in life are communication problems. Communications with your wife, your husband, your significant other, your business, your coworkers, your friends, your boss. You can't understand a person unless you can communicate with them. And we can't fully understand God, God's will for our life, unless we communicate with Him, unless we talk with Him. Prayer is vital in the Christian life. Prayer is an act of communication. You can't communicate with somebody unless you have a relationship with them. So what is our relationship to God? Look at what it says in John 15:15. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. I instead have called you friends. Would you underline that? God calls us friends. Jesus said, instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He says the reason you can ask anything in prayer is because we're friends. Folks, I don't have the words. I don't have the intonation. I don't have the ability to even begin to describe what that means, that Jesus calls us friends. I can't fathom all of that, what the implications of that are. But He calls us friends. Sometimes we fail to pray because we forget. God calls us friends. Folks, who do you talk to most? Who do you talk to most often? Maybe family members and friends. You talk with them. You walk with them. You communicate with them. You listen to them. You share with them. You laugh with them. You cry with them. You talk with your friends. And God counts us as friends. We think of God as someone who is up there, somewhere in the vast unknown, and therefore we can't relate to Him, while in reality, God is right here saying, you are my friend. Kevin, what's up with you right now? What's going on in your life? How can I help you with that? God says to all of us, all you have to do is talk to me. Communicate with me. Listen to me, and you'll see the answers to your prayers that I give you. If I told you that tomorrow I arranged a 20-minute personal conversation for you with anyone in the world, think for a minute, who would it be? Now, you're in church, and you're going to think, well, I'm supposed to say God. It's not that kind of question. A person, who would you talk to for 20 minutes? Well, I'd say you'd probably get excited. You'd start preparing because you're going to meet your favorite singer, sports person, actor, businessman, or businesswoman. We have a greater invitation than that. To spend 20 minutes with someone that we can talk with. We have a greater invitation than that. And it stands before us from all time, from the beginning till now. We are invited to talk with God, with the Creator. Folks, we're skipping all those other people we were thinking about. We're going right to the top. God says, I am the King of kings, I'm the Lord of lords, and you are my friend. God says, okay, friend, what do you want to talk about? I'm here, and I'm listening. Our problem is, sometimes we have a hard time believing that God is really interested in us. I mean, he does have a universe to run, right? We can't seem to conceive that the Creator of the universe is interested in our car payments or our house payments or buying clothes for the kids for school and the guy at work who irritates you. And how are we going to get all these Christmas gifts we can't afford? We think God isn't concerned about your back problems and your relational issues. But he is. Listen. Listen, I want you to come close to me and listen. When you fully discover how much God really loves you, prayer will never be a problem for you. Did you hear me? Listen. When you realize how much and you discover how much God really loves you, prayer will never be a problem for you. Sometimes we just need to stand still. We just need to sit and concentrate and focus on God loving us. God loves me. He loves me. He loves you. And in that love, we bask and we become grateful. And we talk to God. Why? Because we love to talk to the people who love us most. And when you realize that God loves you most, he's the one you want to talk to. I encourage you to take time to realize that. I talk about this quite a bit. I do whole sermon series on this. Realize God's acceptance of and unconditional love for you. And when you realize it, you will talk to God willingly and lovingly. Prayer is an act of dedication and dependence. Secondly, prayer is an act of communication with God. And number three, another purpose of prayer is that prayer is an act of supplication. Now, supplication is a biblical word, and I got to put it in there, but it means requests, things you ask for. Supplication is a request. Tia and Susan work at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and their husbands were in dire need of a new kidney. And one day they crossed paths and they talked about where their husbands were in the transplant process. They discovered Susan was compatible with Tia's husband, Rodney. Tia was compatible with Susan's husband, Lance. And they prayed together. They asked God daily, God, can you work something out here? 7 months later, Tia, Rodney, Susan, and Lance underwent a paired kidney exchange transplant. All four surgeries went smoothly, and Lance's and Rodney's bodies accepted their new kidneys. And because of their willingness to ask each other and to pray to God and to ask God, to request of God for healing for them, Tia and Susan themselves became answers to that prayer. They talked to God about something they needed. Philippians 4:6 says this, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, with your prayers and your supplications, your request, make those requests known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The result of your talking to God, of letting God know your request, will be peace of mind. Because you'll realize you took what's bothering you the most, what's burdening you the most, and you put it before the one who can take care of it. And it's, God, it's yours. Some people think, well, God knows what I need, so what do I need to ask him for it? He's just going to give it to me when I need it. Do for you when you ask for it. There have been things in my life and things in your life with children and grandchildren. I really want to do this for them, but I'm not going to until they ask. What if they don't ask? Then they don't get it. We shouldn't just give everything that people want all the time. Sometimes people need to be humble and say, I need this. Can you help me? There are some things God only does when you pray, when you talk with him. Your life, your relationships, our church, the power we have in them to be blessed and to affect life change and healing in others is absolutely and totally dependent upon prayer, talking with God. If you've been with our church for any time at all, I think you would agree God's blessed us. Would you agree with that? Get an amen out there. You want God to keep blessing us more, bigger? You want more people to become saved? You want God to continue to change your life and we bring people in here and their lives get saved? You want us to become an impact in our community? You want us to be able to do things in missions to reach people in the state of South Carolina, in our country, and overseas? You know how that's done? Prayer. It will never happen if we are not a people of prayer. Period. End of discussion. We can come in here and have a good worship time, but are we really making a difference? That won't happen except through what? Prayer. So we need to get with it. We need to get with it in our personal lives. We need to get in with it in our family lives. And sometimes we do well at that, sometimes we don't. Sometimes I do really good at it, and sometimes I just don't. But it's something we need to do. And when we do that, just get ready. Things will happen that we could never have imagined. Prayer is an act of dedication, communication, supplication, requests, and number four, prayer is an act of cooperation. Prayer is an act of cooperation. A gentleman by the name of William was a candle maker. A gentleman named James was a soap maker. And they were brothers-in-law, and they became business partners, and they manufactured soap. And in the early 1950s, their success allowed them to sponsor television programs known as soap operas. They called it soap operas because these guys let them do it. They invented soap. They made soap. They were successful, so they were soap operas. They were footing the bill. You didn't know that, did you? I always wondered, what's a soap opera? You know, little people on a bar of soap. That's what soap operas are. William Proctor and James Gamble, that's right, Proctor and Gamble, are a great example of success by collaboration. They're a great example of success by cooperation. Their products reach 180 countries. They're worth $100 billion in net sales, and they have over 5 billion customers, all because they were willing to work together and cooperate. That blows me away. And this can be the most exciting thing about prayer. It's an act of cooperation. God has sovereignly chosen in his plan that we cooperate in his plan by praying and helping his will to be done here on earth through our prayers. Prayer is God's program. It's his modus operandi. Prayer is God saying, I have chosen to limit myself to what I accomplish on earth by limiting myself to the faith of my children on earth and to their prayers to me. Folks, when we pray, we are cooperating and teaming up with God to accomplish God's work in this world. In John chapter 14, verses 11 through 14, it says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or believe because of the miracles I have done. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I have to admit to you as a pastor, as your pastor, just a regular Christian guy, I have to admit I have a hard time believing some of this verse. I do. Sorry, I do. If you figured it all out, see me. I need to know. How can I do anything greater than what Jesus did? Come on. I can barely keep you awake. I sure can't raise the dead back to life. How is that possible? To do greater miracles than Jesus through prayer? I think in a way it's kind of simple, folks, because prayer is not limited by time or space. Prayer is limitless in scope. When Jesus was here on the earth, he voluntarily limited himself by becoming a human being. And by God coming in human form, he said, I can only be present in one place at one time. I can't be in the past. I can't be in the future. I'm here now. That's what Jesus did. He became human. He was limited to do the miracles within the vicinity where he lived and worked and traveled. But prayer, listen to me, prayer is not limited by time nor space. The prayers of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago are still being answered today. The prayers I pray today can be answered 3 weeks from today, 3 years from today, 300 years from today. They're not limited by time. And prayer is not limited by space. You can pray and it's like sending a missile. I could pray for somebody in Adams, Minnesota or West River, Wyoming, and it's like sending a missile directly to their heart and to their lives from South Carolina to there. Prayer is not limited by time. It's not limited by space. Prayer is limitless in its power. People may reject your appeals. They may reject your arguments. They may reject you as a Christian person, but they are defenseless against your prayers. They can't stop it. They can't stop the power that God gives through it. Prayer releases God's power and spirit and goes straight to the heart of the one for whom you're praying. Now, you may never know it. You may never see it, but that's what the Word of God says, and we need to believe it. Jesus says, your part is the asking. My part is the doing. And that's great, because Jesus is in a lot better position than you or I are in. Would you admit he's got a few more strings he can pull than we do? He has a few more resources at his command. He says, if you pray, I will do. Our part in cooperating with God's plan in the world means we allow him to use our prayers. Don't ever say, and you've probably said it, I have too. Don't ever say, prayer is the least I can do. Prayer is the most you can do. Hear me well. Prayer is the most you can do. Matter of fact, it's on your outline. The most important thing you can do in your life is pray. Now I'm going to say it again. The most important thing you can do in your life is pray. And if you didn't hear me those first two times, I'm going to go one more. The most important thing you can do in your life is pray. Talk to God. You can talk to Him at home. You can be on your knees. You can be driving in your car. You can be in a doctor's office. You can talk to God anywhere, any place, at any time, with any kind of language you have. I've argued with God. I've blessed God out sometimes. He was like a wonderful Heavenly Father who knew I was hurting, who knew I was frustrated. And the same way I've listened to my kids do that, loving them, knowing they're going through a hard time, God listens to us. Now, I also liked it when my kids always would say, "Dad, you're the best." So there are times I want to stand before God and say, "God, you're amazing. You're the best." The most important thing you can do in your life is pray. When you pray, you build that love relationship with God, and God blesses you, and He changes you, and He uses your prayer to change others and literally change the world. Prayer and the resources of the Word of God are the only resources we have to fight spiritual battles that Satan carries out against us and everyone else. D.L. Moody, a great pastor of years gone by, decades gone by, he once said, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a single kneeling, praying person." Everyone. The great awakenings that happened in our country way back in the 1600s. Started with one faithful person on their knees praying. Grace Point needs to be a praying church. We must be a praying church. Breaking down strongholds so God's work is carried out here and around the world. In part because we pray. Somehow, I think we need to work it out. You've heard of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I think at Grace Point, we need PSPT, pre-service prayer time. I don't know how we can work it. We're limited in space. But I know if we can work out having people over in the fellowship hall, eating and serving and fellowshipping, we can find a place where we can pray before we come in here. So I put that out to you and to us. We got to make that happen. We've got to do it. I like what we're doing now, and God's been good, but I want more. And I'm not being selfish. I want more people to be saved, to grow. So if you have any ideas how we can work it out, feel free to put it on your Connect card and just write it here. I think we can work that out this way. There's space we can use. We can set another space off. We can get... We're open. Your staff is always open to what you think, what you feel, what God's leading you to do. Let us know. Our staff will begin praying about it. We honestly haven't talked about that specifically, but we will now. We will now. We're blessed, folks, to be a blessing. And we do that in part through our prayers. Would you talk with God with me right now? God, I don't fully understand it all, but I know enough to know that when we talk to you, you literally will move heaven and earth to hear us and to listen to the request we have. so lives can be changed, so people can be saved, so hearts that are broken can be mended, relationships can be healed. God, it's great to talk with you when we go on a spiritual high on the top of the mountaintop with you. And we just want to praise you and bless you and lift our hands and our hearts to you and thank you for your goodness. That's great prayer. God, we want to talk with you when we're down in the valley, when we're walking ourselves through the valley of the shadow of death, or when we're walking with somebody through that valley. We want to be people of prayer. God, I and this church need to become people of prayer. The greatest churches I've ever known in our country have become great because of people of prayer. God, I don't know how to work it out, but give us a way to have pre-service prayer time and the people who will come to it, not just once or twice when it seems exciting, but through the weeks and the years to praying. Because we don't know when and how our prayers will be answered, God, but they will be. They will be. Just remind us, Lord, prayers is simply, deeply, but simply talking to you, just like we're doing now, God. So bless our part of the service now, Lord, where we respond to you in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Love us, convict us, change us, use us is my prayer, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the joy that we feel in this house. Lord, give us peace and comfort as we pray to you and communicate. May we depend on you. And Lord, we dedicate to you our lives through prayer. We love you and thank you now. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.